Creator Chat is brought to you in part by Audible. Audible is, of course, the premier audiobook service, perfect for folks who want their books read to them. Thousands and thousands of titles to choose from in all genres, sci-fi, fantasy, biographies, history, thrillers, mysteries, and more. We've got a great offer for listeners on this podcast, 2 free audiobooks when you sign up. And those books are yours to keep even if you decide to cancel your Audible subscription, which is $14.95 a month and gives you a free book every month of your choosing, as well as some other fun perks. Membership has its privileges. Hit up bit.ly/geekbookclub to start your free trial and get those 2 free books on lock. Once again, bit.ly/geekbookclub. And now, let's get into the show. Welcome to another Creator Chat on the SGGQA podcast channel, an ongoing series of interviews where we get to hear from folks making cool things on the internet. And now we've got our second return appearance on the show. My pal, podcaster extraordinaire, Adam Dowd is back. Adam is a passionate advocate for the art of podcasting. But from his first appearance to now, he's been changing up his production. Working under another company's media umbrella, those older podcasts were discontinued. Adam had a lot to say about those podcasts getting closed out, and what it was like striking out on his own to start up his new show, The Benefit of the Dowd Podcast. And we're live. Adam Dowd, you are only the second person to make a return appearance on Creator Chat. Want to thank you for taking the time to jump in.
It's amazing to be back. I was kind of wondering if I was the first, or I didn't know who the first one was, because I don't recall hearing a second person. But that's okay, because, you know, it's funny because, like, after everything at Android Authority, which I'm sure we will talk about,
that as much as you can. Yeah,
it occurred to me, I'm like, you know, I'm much more qualified for Creator Chat now than I did back then. So it's like, it's too bad I already burned it. But no, here we are. So it's great.
No, I mean, you missed it by that much. Last week, Enabong came
oh.
back.
Oh, that was the second one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was the first to make a return appearance. That was last week's Creator Chat, and so you are coming in close. You've got that silver medal, and I'm saying not that you're lesser than Enabong.
I am, that, but okay. No, because I saw that one. I'm like, oh, I already listened to that one. I don't need to listen to it again. But I guess I do, so that's good to know.
Yeah, it's all fresh stuff. It's not like I'm just putting out, you know, I feel like with everything that's been going on in the world today, catching back up with some of my friends and content creators would probably be a good idea. And I want to start off just, we're living through some crazy historical times. Check in and see like how you're doing, how the family's doing, if you've been staying well, staying healthy.
Yeah, we're in this weird place right now where, like, you know, the thing happened. I don't know if we're going to say that. I don't want to get you demonetized.
This is going to be an audio podcast where YouTube does not control our destiny. So if you want to say coronavirus, don't have to worry about YouTube demonetizing my whole channel for being controversial.
Good to know. So, yeah. So when coronavirus hit, like, we were kind of skeptical, and we're going to talk a little bit of politics here, and I apologize for that. But, like, at first we were kind of like, you know, oh, how bad is it going to be? You know, yada, yada. And then, like, President Trump came on, and for 3 days, he was the most presidential that I've ever seen him, because it looked like he was actually going to take this thing seriously. Like, for 3 days, he came out there and he's like, you know what? It's probably going to be about 100,000 people that die in the U.S. And that's terrible. And we need to do everything that we can to stop that. Then, like, 3 days later, he was all back like, fake news, Democratic hoax, blah, blah, blah. But, and so I'm like, man, you were so close. You were so close. But anyway, so, like, when he started taking it seriously, that's about the time that I started taking it seriously. That's when we started doing the masks and the gloves and, like, like, I was the designated go out to the store person because I only have two high risk causes for COVID, where my wife has three. So right. I was the one that had to take the hit. So I was the designated grocery store guy. But for the most part, like, it's funny because, and not funny, it's terrible, but like, I've been working from home for 3 years. All of my right. friends are online. Zoom calls are no stranger to me. Like, this hasn't really affected my lifestyle all that much. Like,
yeah,
the only difference was now I have a wife and two kids in my office every day.
Right. Marie was definitely in the same boat there. Thankfully, yeah. her company moved to work from home very aggressively. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a trip where I don't know that those first couple weeks she was properly prepared for the psychology of working at home. She's used to an office and getting up and stretching her legs and mm-hmm. walking over to a coworker's desk to shoot the shit for a little bit and then coming over. And like, I don't exist like that. I am, you know, head down, writing scripts, shooting videos, editing videos, doing social media. Oh, my wife is distracting me. Hey, hun, yeah, let's take a lunch break that I never would have done on my own by myself.
Now, see, in my case, it was different because I have what I like to call a non-linear workflow, which is to say I get distracted by squirrels all day long. So it takes me like it takes me probably like 16 hours to do an 8-hour workday or something like that. So which is why I'm usually sitting at like my desk at 10 o'clock at night, because right. I've been dicking around all day. So now, like, with three extra people at home, I've been dicking around that much more. Because it's like, oh, I can mess around with you now. Or, oh, yeah, right. sure, we can play one game of Call of Duty Mobile, son, that's okay. You know, and so it's like, that was an adjustment. But I honestly think that, like, for people like you and me who are used to working from home, we were probably able to help our families transition into this workflow much more easily because it's old hat for us, you know? So for like sure. when my wife has to start doing Zoom meetings with her students, you know, I can help her, you know, like, here's how you set up your video and here's how to, you know, properly position a camera to scan a document, you know, stuff like that. So like, I think, you know, we probably were able to weather the storm a lot better than a family that had never done it ever under any circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a position, a very privileged position for us to have the kind of access to all of these tech tools and tech toys, because for as scary as the situation has been for a number of families out there, it's also been this incredible opportunity for us to really put our gadgets to the test. And mm-hmm. and some of them have risen to the occasion. I mean, I feel like, you know, people are leaning on smartphone use in ways like they've never had to rely on these products before. And then there have been a few accessories where we're like, oh, wow, that really did not live up to the manufacturer's claims when I'm just trying to use it here at home. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's definitely been a very different viewpoint, but one that I feel has been a positive contribution to how we talk about technology and services in the modern era.
I also think that, like, this pandemic could not have come at a better time, because I think we as a society were so incredibly prepared to do so much from mm-hmm. home. Like, you know, yeah, you look sure. back at the flu of 1918, you know, through 1920 or whatever, you know, those people, if you couldn't leave the house, you didn't even have a newspaper. I mean, like, you had nothing. Yeah. Like, and, you know, like, my daughter is able to have Zoom calls with her gymnastics class, you know, in mm-hmm. order to, like, do workouts and stuff like that. There's none of that. Like, oh, it's, and not to mention, like, in 1918 or even earlier, you look back, like, we've had pandemics going, you know, every 100 years or so. You know, in the 1800s, if there was a pandemic and the horse and rider died on the way to the next town, the next town didn't know that there was a problem. Right. I mean, when you think about, like, how hyper-connected we are and hyper-aware that we are, that's a really, really bad thing when it comes to, like, politics and other yeah. things. But it's a and really great thing when it comes to staying informed about, like, how to stay safe and how to be prepared for this.
Absolutely. I, like, the dissemination of information, the communication tools, the social media thing has not been a good look for us as a species, but you know, we'll figure that out at some point. I'm sure Facebook is gonna fix everything that's wrong with their platform, and everything's gonna be groovy. It's been really I've been really grateful. I talk a lot of tech and politics on my show, and I think it has thrown into sharp contrast that, you know, we still have 30 million people that we need to get up to broadband in this country. And, you know, those are people that are invisible to these conversations and are relevant to the 21st century. And here we were just showing like the best evidence ever that we need to have a robust communications ecosystem, because that's what the 21st century runs on. It runs on data, it runs on information. So absolutely, lots of challenges still to face, but for those of us who have been sort of privileged enough to have this access to these kinds of tools, I feel like, man, like to echo your sentiment there, like I'm really grateful that this I was around for this time period and not, you know, the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
For being able to fire up Netflix or play Tetris or something just to kind of distract myself.
And I don't know what you're talking about. I've got like four different ISPs that I could pick from if I wanted to.
Oh,
like,
you
jerk. Oh, I'm seriously like in the 1% of the United States where I want to say it's like Verizon and Comcast and Wow and AT&T. I could pick from any of them. Yeah,
so. I'm you know, because we have Comcast and we're on T-Mobile. Well, I'm on Google Fi, but we're piggybacking on T-Mobile's network, and I'm literally trying out a Republic Wireless home data connection kit just to see if, like, is there any other way we could get another megabit of data connectivity to our house? It's pretty ugly,
right?
So I want to shift into to some follow-ups. Your first appearance was, I think, one of my most shared podcasts, as you have been a pretty passionate advocate for podcasting as an art form, as a media form, as an entertainment form. And I mean, like, even Mr. Mobile shooting out some really warm vibes, talking about what a great guest you were to be talking about this.
And
you know, he's just such good people anyway, but it's always nice when he pops up in like your mentions and you're like, oh
yeah,
it's either going to be something really like positive and heartfelt and thoughtful or Star Trek,
right?
And I'm good with both.
Yeah totally.
But I wanted to follow up. We've seen so many individual platforms and outlets, the companies that sort of run these larger blogs, and it was really sad news when I saw the commentary in, you know, from Android Authority and from Sound Guys and Digit Daily that those podcasts were going to get pulled.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while, and you've moved on to creating and hosting your own show. But I was hoping we could rewind just a little bit.
Sure.
What some of that looked like internally. I'm sure it wasn't a decision taken lightly, and I'm sure numbers played a huge factor in this, but for our podcasting renaissance, it definitely came as a bit of a surprise looking at this from the outside, that those shows were really well regarded by their audiences.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because honestly, I poured my heart and soul into all those shows. And I think that is reflective in the show that I'm doing now, because you can find little bites of each of those different shows in the new show that I'm doing right now. And that's not a coincidence. But so, yeah, I mean, there were. So let's just say that Android Authority is an organization that is run in a very specific and. I hesitate to use the word peculiar, but, you know, like with any organization, all the drones think they could run things better. You know, that's kind of like the way it is. When I was working in tech support, you know, I kept saying, well, you know, we should do this and we should do that and we should do that. And the higher ups, you know, they have ways that they want to run things. And the same is true for Android Authority, which is a very big organization, you know, all things considered. So they had a certain way of running things, and I think ultimately it wasn't conducive to running a, I think that they had, I'm trying to figure out a good middle of the road way to put this, but I think basically just ultimately there were metrics that needed to be met mm-hmm. that could have been met if we had done certain things. However, we did not do certain things, so we did not meet those metrics. And ultimately, they decided, you know, it's been, it was like 18 months or something like that that we were trying to do this. We mm-hmm. weren't quite getting to where we needed to go. So, you know, things were trending in the right direction. But I think right. ultimately they were not trending as fast as the powers that be would like to have seen it.
So, well, and it's got to be really heady. I mean, this is a conversation going all the way back to one of my first tech outlet jobs. It followed me through working at Pocket Now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, and if this isn't something you can directly comment on, I'm not trying to get you to air dirty laundry or anything like that, but it's I've run into, well, first of all, let me just say I'm definitely one of those worker bee drones who always thinks that I can be the queen bee, right?
Right.
Like totally
right.
with you there too. I always have a million and one ideas on what could be run better. But one of the frustrations I found in my professional career is very vague goals for what we'll consider success.
Right.
And I mean, like at Pocket Now, it's like, yeah, well, of course, we all want to see traffic improve and we all want to see monetization improve. And the realities of running a week-to-week podcast, I feel like if the leadership doesn't have a clear intention or a clear goal for what constitutes success, other than just more numbers, bigger good, then you're going to run into those conflicts with the higher-ups, and it's really not going to be a sustainable situation. And I not to read too much into what happened with Android Authority, but looking mm-hmm. from the outside, it kind of felt a little like that, where a podcast is a great community building, goodwill. It can be monetized, but it's broader than just exact numbers and monetization. It's a whole part of the brand, and it didn't seem like that gelled with what Android Authority's expectations were.
Arguably. And yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think what ended up a podcast is a great way to communicate with people, and it's an alternative way that you can communicate with people. Not mm-hmm. everybody wants to sit there and read article after article. Not everybody right. wants to sit there and watch a 12-minute video about, you know, why the camera on the P40 Pro Plus is great. You know, not everybody right. wants to do that. What they want to do is they want to do the dishes and hear stuff, you know, and, you know, sometimes they want to connect with personalities. And I think podcasting is a way that is a little bit more able to connect in that way, because, you know, you don't get listener mail on YouTube videos, you know, basically. So, I mean, it's right. like, and so I think there's, but, and I also think that podcasting is not cheap, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. And you know, it therefore it does cost money, and I don't think a lot of people realize like how much it actually yeah. like how much time. And we talked about this in the first appearance, where, you know, if I have an hour long show, I'm going to have to put at least 3 hours into that, because I'm going to need to edit it once, and then I'm going to need to listen to it to make sure I didn't screw up, and then I'm going to need to right. listen to it again to make sure like that one thing that I caught was just one thing, and it wasn't like five other things that I missed the second time through. So, I mean, it's like there's a lot of time involved, and yeah. and that costs money. So, like, there are differing philosophies as to like what a podcast can be, and some think it can be a money-making platform. And I'll be perfectly honest, when I came on to Android Authority like 2 weeks after they stopped the first podcast. And so like my wow. pitch, yeah, I mean, it was not good. I was going to take over. Like that was kind of like my plan, like my personal plan. Like I'm going to get on there. I'm going to get in with JV and we're going to talk and I'm going to start, you know.
Oh,
and,
no.
So, yeah. Anyway, so when I pitched the bringing the podcast back, money was a part of it. I mean, it kind of had mm-hmm. to be. It had to be a part of the conversation. But I don't think that ultimately the powers that be thought that some money plus some goodwill was better than all money. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if I want to do like a 50-50 thing, like, you know, here's a, you know, here's some money that we can make from the podcast. And here's also the fact that every other major tech publication that wants to take itself seriously has a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason for that. And so like, so 50% money, 50%, what is that? Reputation, I guess you want to call it.
For sure.
And then, you know, and ultimately what that ended up being was like, they wanted more like 100% money, you know, rather than we don't need the podcast. We don't absolutely need the podcast. So, I mean, I can't argue with them. So, well,
but I mean, again, yeah. It's got to be a heady conversation because until a podcast can kind of build its own sort of standalone audience, because mm-hmm. it is, it's a unique, it's a unique entertainment experience. You can throw podcasts on YouTube. I'm recording this in a way where it's going to stream for patrons if they want to watch the video of us rambling through our feelings on, mm-hmm. on art and commerce.
Right.
But until it can kind of grow to be that, it has to be subsidized by other things. I think it's interesting because your point going back just a little bit about audience expectations. We've seen where audiences are now sort of expecting or demanding a very sophisticated level of content quality.
Oh, yeah.
And yet they still regard podcasting as, well, you just go and get yourself a snowball and you plug it into your computer and you talk for 2 hours. Anybody could do that. And, you know, that back to your original appearance and even now today, moving on, I feel like we've already aggressively pushed even further into mm-hmm. that territory of expectations. And the idea behind podcasting seems to have gotten even more reductively simple.
Right. Well, and it's funny because, you know, I've talked to other podcasters, one who I won't name, but he said, you know, I consider podcasting to be kind of disposable media. Like, to this person, it wasn't a big deal if there was like, you know, a baby cry in the background or something like that, you know, right. or, you know, something like that, which, I mean, I kind of get. But at the same time, you know, if my son yells downstairs in 5 minutes, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to repeat my last answer. You know, just because, right. you know, at the end of the day in the editing bay, it's going to sound better. And I still believe, I personally believe, I will not listen to a podcast that isn't at least 75% radio quality. And right. I won't put out a podcast that's not at least 90% radio quality.
Right.
Because that's
because there are those different sort of expectations, you know, like yeah. the show I'm running, I am very heavily invested in a Twitch style live comment conversation.
Yeah, back and forth. That is not type of thing.
Exactly. So I depend on that kind of interaction, but that is so much different than what you were doing with Sound Guys.
That oh, yeah.
polished, presentational, hosted, scripted, researched. I mean, that is so much more radio drama polish that mm-hmm. goes into producing that. And yet, I still feel like audiences kind of regard both as kind of being the same, you know? And I can't point to two more radically different philosophies for trying right. to produce content than those two shows as examples.
Right. Well, and then there's also Android Authority, which is, you know, three guys and a mic, basically, is kind of like what I call it. You know, it's like, you know, two or three hosts like what we're doing, having a back and forth discussion, which can be very engaging. You know, if I'm just listening to this, you know, I love listening to the creator chats because I like the byplay, the back and forth type stuff. Like the other podcasts that I listen to, This American Life and Serial, you know, a lot of those yeah. are more like scripted storytelling, you know,
for sure.
where, which I mean, I probably prefer, but I think there's room for all of them. You know, there's room for all of those different, and I don't think that they're the same. There's certainly different genres, but.
Well, and that's what I think has been so challenging to convey. is, I mean, like when we're producing this stuff, I think we have that idea in mind. This is a very casual conversational show. It's okay if a little life bleeds into it.
Yeah.
This is something I really want to polish up, but I feel like audiences haven't been properly sort of educated. I don't want to use a word like trained. They're, you know, they're not housebroken.
Right.
But it's trying to get that idea across. I'm going to push pause for just a second because my wife needs to run in and grab something. And
well,
then
I'll say
we'll
hi when she comes in.
Right back into our conversation again. I'm just going to drop a marker here so I can edit this out. It's saying in the video, though, like I said, if we want a little life leaking into videos and stuff, then that's what we're going to do.
And you know what? My backup recording is not working at all. And I just noticed that.
Okay.
Like my primary is good.
Awesome.
But
hey, Marie. Okay. I meant to put it out. Yeah.
Okay. My daughter's dance class is starting in 15 minutes.
Ah, be careful. Those get expensive.
Oh, as a former dancer myself, I'm well aware.
Not as expensive as gymnastics. I still got you there, but.
and I have no skill in flipping my legs over my head. So we're just kind of wrapping up, I think, it's just the idea, though.
Audiences haven't been trained.
Yeah, and so I feel like, you know, Android Authority. I mean, again, I as being the audio nerd, it hurt losing Sound Guys.
Oh, I know.
I enjoyed DigiDaily. I loved Android Authority, but there was such a unique conversation.
I know.
To be talking about audio topics. I mean, totally wrong about Bluetooth. Bluetooth audio is the worst.
That was one of our last episodes. Maybe that's what killed it. Who knows?
Yeah, the nail in the coffin is you're wrong, good sir. You're wrong.
Right.
But again, it's difficult to reconcile the idea of seeing that progress, watching people engage, watching those podcasts get shared, and then suddenly like being without a weekly entertainment a product that I had really come to enjoy, I guess monthly with Sound Guys, but still.
Yeah. And you know, the reason Sound Guys was monthly was because it took so much more work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not wrong. Like, so like with Benefit of a Doubt, what I'm doing largely interview segments and, you know, kind of like this where we talk back and forth. But in my case, it's actually more like me asking questions of, you know, industry people and letting them, you know, go on for 20 minutes and whatnot. But I am working on a couple. I've done a couple of like review roundups where I'll like read a bunch of reviews for phones that I can't get access to because I'm still a small fish in a very big pond. And so, like, I'll go around and say, you know, so-and-so said this about this, and I'll put in audio clips. So that's kind of like that. But I've also done I also did one in one of our first episodes about coronavirus and how it was impacting technology. And I think that had kind of a Sound Guys feel to it. And I'm working on another piece right now pertaining to Huawei that is going to have a very similar kind of feel to it, like a Sound Guys kind of feel to it. And honestly, those are the stories that of the three, it hurt me most to lose Sound Guys as well, because that's not only is Sound Guys like one of the more fun ones to produce, but also they were the hardest to produce. So like, you know, they took the most amount of time. And so like me personally working as an individual is going to be, it's going to be harder for me to produce those types of stories because of all the work that has to go into them. You know, I had a team of four people that could do all the research and the writing and the recording. I just had to put it together with duct tape. You know, it was fairly easy. but like doing all of it by myself is a little bit harder. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There are parts of every show that hurt, you know, losing.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but like, I think I've recaptured a lot of the DigiDaily in the Benefit of a Doubt podcast. There's definitely that vibe for sure. You know, keeping up with the news and keeping up with the news cycles and watching trends as they emerge. That was one of my favorite things about DigiDaily was reading the news every day. You know, like I kind of had to, you know, and so I still kind of have to. But yeah, Sound Guys, I'll be honest, that one hurt. And like, I've pitched Chris Thomas a couple of times since then. Like, hey, what if we did like a Sound Guys segment on Benefit of a Doubt? We could totally do that. And just no. although Chris Thomas did follow Benefit of a Doubt today, so we'll see.
Hey, progress.
There's hope. Like that,
I want to backtrack here because, you know, there was the natural sort of segue. You know, going from what was and the fond remembrances of podcasts past to mm-hmm. what you're working on currently. And I'm sure my audience has probably gleaned by now that your podcast is called Benefit of the Doubt.
They might have picked up. I was a little subtle, and I'm glad you really like really hung a lantern on it.
I'm making sure it didn't fly under the radar there, because you know, you're nothing if not, you know, extremely just technically painfully nuanced,
right,
in your subtlety. Right. So yeah. When you obviously, I feel like this was a direct reaction towards working for another outlet. And we had a couple conversations offline, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I had left Pocket Now a couple years prior, and here's Android Authority pulling the plug on their podcast. And I was hoping you could kind of get into where you were in trying to craft a piece of media that would be under your control as opposed to relying on another outlet.
So it was hard. It was very hard to begin with because, you know, like I had those three different podcasts with three completely different styles and mm-hmm. like I had no idea how to merge them together. Right. And you know, in our last episode, you kind of talked about, and in a lot of creator chats, you talk about that spark, like what mm-hmm. was the thing that sparked it. This actually had a spark. And the spark's name was Cliff Thomas.
Okay.
Because, you know, Cliff Thomas was my old podcast partner from Techbeard. We still, you mm-hmm. know, we actually still have the chat room, the Slack room that we use for Techbeard. And like just him, me and Ryan will like spitball every now and then. So Cliff called me and I'm not entirely sure he was sober. But he called me one
best
night.
Best conversations for content creation.
Right. And I was like sitting around and like I knew I wanted to do something. I wasn't sure what, but like I want to do a show. I just don't know what kind of show I want to do. And so he called me one night and he's like, you should do a thing and call it No Doubt About It. And it would be great. And I'm just like, you know what? I like that, but I want to make a more positive spin to it. But like he had like my theme music, like already he had found this, you know, my theme music. I love my theme music. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And he found that on like the Free Music Archive and he played it for me. And I honestly think like, and I said this, I think on my last episode, that music was like 50% of the inspiration to like get this going, because like, you know what it's like when you hear that music and you're like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. We can work with this, you know? And yeah, it's just like, it just took that little spark. And so, you know, what we originally kind of envisioned was kind of like a late night talk show of podcasting, you know, and, you know, where we have people on for interviews and we have like different segments, maybe different little skits or something like that. And we've played with a couple of different things through the life of the show thus far. And one of the benefits of the Doubt,
it's clever.
One of the benefits of that type of style is I can do, you know, as long as I do the news, which I'm going to do every week, I can do pretty much anything I want for that back half of right. the show. And, you know, so that means I'm not locked into doing an interview or a device review or, you know, a review roundup or anything like that. I can pretty much do whatever I want. And thank God I figured out early on to set up an editorial calendar, because if I hadn't done that, man, I would just be all the frick over the place. And like, I think the next big jolt came when I went to LG and I said, you know, hey, I'm doing my own thing now. And, you know, maybe we can talk about doing like a loaner or something like that. And they sent me the LG V60, which mm-hmm. was significant because A, it's like, you know, a flagship device. It's a great phone. But it's also the first phone that I was able to review as an independent creator.
Right. And feels so good, right?
It does. It felt really good. And so like ever since then, like I've been, you know, reaching out to like different outlets that, you know, I used to work with, you know, from my, you know, because I've been doing this forever. But now I'm like, you know, hey, I'm me now. So forget what, you know, forget what Darcy says, forget what Anton says, you know, this is me now. So like, you know, hey, maybe we can do some stuff. And so like, I've developed really great relationships with Lenovo, with Anchor and, you know, RavPower. So like a lot of great brands have, you know, responded, even though I am, TCL. I can't forget TCL. Because actually TCL, we're doing an interview with, two TCL people this week. So I have to edit that after we get off the air. So that'll be fun.
Hey, podcast listeners, I work really hard to find mutually beneficial ways to support production on my various distribution platforms. Instead of just running ads on this podcast and hoping they don't annoy you, I want to find products or services that you really will get something out of and that can help fund my production. While I do talk about some of those items in ads throughout this podcast, I've never created one easy-to-view master list of my current partnerships until now. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. If you'd like to help contribute, support production of this podcast and my various videos and reviews, head on over to somegadgetguy.com. At the top, there's going to be a link for Support Some Gadget Guy, and you can see what my current partnerships are. At the time this podcast was recorded, in addition to my Patreon, we can hook you up with a $10 voucher for shopping a new OnePlus, save 20% on some One More headphones, sign you up for Google Fi service, Amazon affiliate links, Audible, or you can grab a Mega Pickle coffee mug of your very own. Savory, delicious Mega Pickles. Head on over to somegadgetguy.com, support banner on the top right-hand side of my website, and hopefully you find something cool, something you like, while also kicking me a little extra scratch.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, the thing I love about, because I just did a conversation with Jason Gurdon, who I've been like bouncing around with trade shows for years.
Yeah.
But between Jason and Brad, it's like they've got such a great sense of, because like Brad came from Engadget. So, I mean, like he knows the hustle. He knows the deal. And like, as long as you're willing to take this stuff seriously, it doesn't seem to matter if like you're an up and comer, you're a smaller channel, you're a medium tier channel. It's like, yeah, sure. I mean, if we've got room on the list, you're on the list. And it's not PR BS. You know, like if Samsung tells me I'm on the list, that means I'm never going to hear from them ever again.
I have, but TCL, I have a couple it of, means, I have something a couple of OEMs that I'm doorstep. In line for.
Oh, yeah. I had the most refreshing conversation with an audio manufacturer a couple days ago. And they just flat out said, we've already exhausted our stock of review devices, but we'll try to keep you in mind for future coverage. But your beat doesn't look like one that we're going to be putting for like primary review units. Or how did they phrase it? Or for units under embargo.
Right.
Like, you know what? Being just straight up and telling me that is so much easier for me to handle than the lie of, oh, yeah, you're so great. We'll totally work with you again in the future. Never.
But that being said, I can be a persistent SOB. So, you
that
know,
helps too.
I figure
I have enough on my desk right now where I feel comfortable like shrugging off. Oh, you don't want to work with me. That's fine. Yeah. I can take my ball and go home.
I'm not quite there, but yeah, I know what you mean.
I feel like you're going to get there soon, man. I feel like this is going to be good for you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. And, you know, it's been a real challenge, like having to do like a lot of the stuff that Darcy would have done at Android Authority.
Right.
Like, you know, just maintaining those relationships with different PR people and like doing the cold calls, if you will, like reaching out, like, you know. But I think, you know, one big shout out I got to give is to Wix, because I tried Squarespace, I tried WordPress, F those guys. Like Wix was just like so incredibly easy. Like my website looked like crap. I had a Tumblr website before I moved to Wix. Oh, Tumblr was so bad. And like I was going to go on All About Android. And I'm like, man, I got to get this website looking better before I do that. So I like just kind of dove in and figured it out. But yeah, so Wix is a really great place to set up a blog and a website. And I'm enjoying them. So shout out
to
Wix.
That was
That was another thing that I was actually really encouraged to see. Is
not sponsored by Wix, by the way.
I mean, hit them up, get a promo code. I'm sure they've got some kind of affiliate deal.
Oh yeah.
The thing I was really encouraged to see, I feel like for a number of us making some of these transitions, when I left my very, very first tech blog that I never mentioned the name of it because it was such a miserable experience leaving that tech blog.
You know, now I sense really, an off-air conversation in the future.
I'm perfectly happy to share with other people, but I choose not to detail my experiences with Voldemort in polite company.
Fair enough.
But it was one of those things where, like, I had to take a step back and really examine and like, what am I going to do? And I had just gotten out of audio blogging and reviewing, and Gadget Guy hadn't really been created yet. And for a number of my friends now, there seems to be a much savvier sense of, okay, well, I'm going to leave this outlet, but then I'm going to go hit the ground running. You know, like watching what Joshua Vergara has done, TK making a little bit of a transition in his relationship with XDA and how he's focusing on his own content too.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I heard about you sort of separating from Android Authority, and like literally the next day you're on All About Android, like one of the biggest... You know, like Android review podcasts and just like immediate and forthright, like, well, hey, yeah, so this is what I'm doing and you can catch me on my website. And you're like, that was just such a beautiful moment to watch, because I kind of feel like a lot of us are struggling with that notion of how do we control, you know, our futures? You know, what how do we have some say in our own destinies?
I hate
to
tell you.
And to see that, I mean, was actually just really refreshing.
I hate to tell you, but that appearance on Android and All About Android had been planned for weeks, and I had
But what I like, though, and again, I mean, my experiences with like Jason and Flo and Ron and the crew over at All About Android is like, again, I feel like once someone's sort of vetted themselves, not necessarily like you have to be with a major outlet, then we'll take you seriously and then you can be on our show.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like it wasn't like I've had some experiences in the past where. If I had booked an appearance because of my relationship with Fox LA or with Pocket Now, and then I left, I would have gotten that really polite message of, oh, well, let's look at our schedule and let's see if we can come back to this at another time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I really respect about crews like Jason's.
Oh, you know, sure.
Like, All About Android is it wasn't going to change your experience, your knowledge, your ability to contribute to the conversation. And it was still a really great show and a really fun chat. It had nothing to do with how popular the outlet was backing you up at that point, because they knew you.
Right.
And so to see that, to see you still on the show, to see you still contributing and immediately rolling into your own content. Just again, I mean, like, I feel like that's a refreshing change of pace from where we were even a couple years ago.
Yeah,
where the gatekeepers, I think, would have been a bit more severe.
And by the way, credit where it's due, also shout out to All About Android for bringing me back like 3 months later, because I launched my podcast literally like the day after it was on All About Android. And I'm like, oh, man, I really screwed that. It was kind of like, you know, with you, I'm just like, I really screwed that up. I should have waited. And so I reached out to Jason. I'm like, hey, you know. Thanks for having me on, but I've got a thing now. And he's like, well, what if we do this? I'm like, yes!
Score.
Right. Oh, so yeah, Jason is a jewel, as is Flo and Ron. They're all, I love them so very much.
I mean, Ron perpetually wrong about headphone jacks, but other than that, he's a pretty nice guy.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. But you know, he's got redeeming qualities.
Oh, he does. No, he's a lovely individual who's just horrifically wrong about audio.
Well, we can't all be perfect. Actually,
in the worst possible way.
Honestly, Juan, I'm probably horrifically wrong about a lot of audio too. So, I mean, like, as much as I'm a podcaster and podcast producer, I'm probably get a lot of things wrong when it comes to audio. So it's fine.
I would say it's not whether or not you get something wrong; it's whether or not you're open to learning.
Right.
You know, that's what I mean is like for those times where I've gotten something wrong, it's actually been some of my absolute favorite, most favorite content.
Oh, sure.
Is when I get to come back and go, oh, man, did I screw this up? And let me show you how, because this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's the frustration. Like I recently I had to kind of tag a much, much larger YouTube channel for improperly setting up Shure SM7B.
You know, okay. This is one of those radio mics. If you're in broadcast at all, you know this microphone. It's been around since like the late 60s or early 70s. And for a good reason. Like there's a reason why people use this mic.
Yep.
And this popular YouTuber put out this video about how it was like a waste of money for what I needed. And here are all the hoops I had to jump through. And like, I've got to fix that. He's incorrect. And so, you know, it's always telling when the reaction you get is like, is this person going to get defensive? Are they going to see like what it is that I'm trying to accomplish? And you know, I feel like the response was, it took a while for this individual to figure out, like, I wasn't just pooping on him, but still, like, you have to understand, you know, like, this wasn't just people lying about this microphone. And so when I see your content and you're like, oh, well, Adam maybe didn't figure this out, it's that I know there's someone on the other end of that microphone who is, every show he does, he's probably trying or learning something new and applying it directly. So that rapid evolution is so exciting to watch, though.
Thank you.
I mean, because that's where I feel we see some of our most disruptive content, some of our most engaging content, is when someone is like really pushing their limits. And like every week, it's easy to push that limit even just a little bit further based on what you learned the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an evolving learning curve. And it's also like the nature of the show. Like I said, I can do anything I want in that back half. So I'm able to push a lot of different boundaries that I haven't been able to push before, which is really exciting. It's really fun to be able to like just say, you know, yeah, screw it, let's do that. You know, mm-hmm. let's see what happens. And yeah, it's been really remarkable. I've had a lot of great conversations with a lot of really interesting people. Like conversations, I kind of went into them like, is this going to be any good? and like, you know, it turns out to be like really, really. And this week's with TCL with Jason and Brad was a great conversation that I kind of like went into it. I'm like, eh. I mean, yeah, there could be some good stuff in there, but it actually like from start to finish, they were so forthcoming and so warm and generous with their time. It was really a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Because from chatting with Jason and from working with Brad for years, it's like, you're going to get good stuff.
Oh yeah.
It's going
to be done. It would be hard not to.
Yeah, for reals. Just to kind of walk us through loosely structure of the show, there's a focus on sort of weekly news and tech mm-hmm. topics. And then you sort of have a round robin of different segments, I should say.
Yeah,
that's a better word.
Yeah,
that you can install in that back half. That I mean, from some of our conversations off, you know, sort of on social media and stuff like that, obviously by design. But how did you arrive at that format for the show after leaving, you know, a trio of podcasts that were each very individually different types of properties?
Right. Well, okay. So I knew I wanted to have a Digit Daily element in there. Like we talked about earlier in this episode, like that was the part mm-hmm. that I really enjoyed. Like not just, I was a little disingenuous the first time we covered it on this show. it's fun keeping up with the news.
Phony.
It's fun keeping up with the news and it's fun like following those trends, but it's also fun as hell to make jokes about it.
Right.
Because I mean, honestly, that's the part that I really enjoy doing. I can think of a couple of news pieces this week that like I just mm-hmm. I laugh to myself every time I read them. And you know what? It's important that your audience knows I'm hilarious. Okay. I definitely knew that I wanted some type of thing in there. And then originally we were going to do three segments. We were going to do, and this is like what Cliff and I talked about in that first conversation. We were going to do kind of like the news, which would be kind of like the opening monologue. And then we would do like a guest of some sort. We would talk to them and then we would do something else on the back third, basically. And then like, I kind of realized early on, at least with the size that I am right now, I'm not sure I have the connections to make a 3-segment show sustainable. So like I could very easily run out of content very quickly if if I was trying to do like 2 of these things every week as opposed to just 1. So because, you know, math says if I only do 1, I get double the content. So and like, you know, I also had, you know, practical considerations like what if when I go on vacation, what am I going to do? And like my plan right now is I'm just going to stack 2 of those back half sections together and say, here's your show. Sorry, no news this week, but, you know, here's a couple of cool conversations that I had or something. And so, yeah, spoiler alert. But yeah, so it's like, and so like as it is right now, I've got enough content to almost get through the entire summer with just what I've recorded so far. But if I was doing 2 segments per show, I would have been struggling to come up with like 2 things next week at this point. So that was that. So that's kind of how we arrived. I knew I wanted to do news, and I knew I wanted to do I wanted to do more interviews when I was at Android Authority. I just never really had the opportunity to do it. Because like interviews at Android in the Android Authority format would have been really annoying to do, because then I would have had to have the interview. I would have had to cut it all up into different segments and make sure that everybody listens to all the different segments. Then we would comment on those, but we would do it. And then I would have to like insert. It was just kind of a pain. This way, it's just a straight up interview. I ask a question, they answer, you know, and I've really wanted to, like, in my career, I've wanted to hone my interview skills. Like that's like one thing that I've always known that I really wanted to do. And I never really had the opportunity to do it up until, you know, of course now. So, and for then like you can find influences for my show all over the place. Like, I still get compliments on my introductions of guests. Which has been pretty consistent. Like in every podcast I've ever done, I've pretty consistently gotten compliments on that. But I recently adopted, you know, a little inside baseball. If you watch the YouTube series Hot Ones with Chris Evans,
of course,
I kind of adopted his method of doing like introductions of guests. Like I'll kind of go through their history a little bit, bring them up to the, you know, what they've been doing recently, and then like finally introduce them into the show. And so, like, and that has gone over really well, I think, because, you know, Chris Evans is the best and he's from Chicago. So, yay. wait, Chris Evans? Sean Evans. I'm sorry. Chris Evans is Captain America.
Because I'm a fan of Chris Evans, too.
Sean Evans. Yeah, I think that's his name. Sorry, not we'll Captain America. Check it later.
This isn't going to be edited. I'm sorry. I'm keeping that in the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. I would be angry if you didn't.
But no, I mean, I again, it's one of those things where you look at the landscape and just like from TV to web, you know, for on camera content. You know, I drew a lot of inspiration from interview segments on NPR. You know, like that's how I like to make my bumpers. It's the whole, you know, great artists steal kind of a
stealing from everybody.
but again, it's always been fun listening to how an individual might put their own personalization on that, their own twist on that. And so I've really been enjoying the show. I'd be curious if you don't mind kind of getting into some of the nuts and bolts of it, since now you're tackling all of that. All of the back end, all of the administration, all of the actual content creation and production. What has that done to your perception of the podcast? You know, benefit of the doubt is no longer under another outlet's umbrella. You're out there on your own. And I'm sure the production of that content is a very heady challenge from week to week, but then also the distribution and promotion and everything that goes along with trying to make something in this weird, you know, messed up 21st century era. I'm sure that also has to kind of weigh in on the decisions that you make.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a lot harder. it's a lot harder when you don't have a team of 60 people all supporting you in various different ways. So like, and it's fun. It's not fun. It's actually terrible. Like I know that there are certain things that I'm neglecting because like I just don't have the bandwidth to, or the like the memory to like remember. Oh, I need to post an Instagram, or you know, and I've completely neglected my Instagram channel, and I'm so sorry for that. But like,
yeah, but Facebook sucks. So like, if you're going to neglect anything,
right. And I'm not even on Facebook, so don't even get me started there.
Oh, you are if you're on Instagram.
Well, okay, sort of, but whatchamacallit. So like, there's just a lot. It's a lot to keep track of. And like I said, I'm really glad early on that I adopted the editorial calendar idea, because that was never something that I ever did. Like with Android Authority, I never had that. Even with Sound Guys, like from month to month, we didn't really have, we would have some shows like queued up, like we know we're going to do this and around Christmas, stuff like that. But like, we never had like a real formal, here's what we're doing on such and such a date. So it's like, I'm really glad I adopted that early on, because otherwise I would have had just like, I probably would have done interviews that I like forgot about and like never published. Like, oh yeah, I talked to him like 4 months ago. Yeah, let's put that out there. So like, it's just, I still love it. I still absolutely love podcasting. And I love the fact that I'm doing it under my own umbrella and I don't have anybody to report to. At the same time, you know, we mentioned this off the air, you know, podcasting is probably like the only platform that's harder to monetize than YouTube. So,
yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't miss the steady paychecks. I do miss the steady paychecks. Excuse me.
Miss it.
So, you know, I miss that part of it, but like, I do enjoy working for the man. Don't get me wrong. You know, I do enjoy ultimately having responsibility fall on somebody else, because,
you know,
if I screw up, it's not going to blow up the entire world. Right now, if I screw up, it's probably going to blow up the entire world.
Right.
So like, but at the same time, I feel like I can also be a little bit more, you know, casual with things, and I can like let things slide, because I'm like, on the one hand, I want to make things even to a higher standard, but at the same time, if I don't, then what am I going to do? Fire myself? So like,
I'm going to give myself a very stern warning.
Right. Right. Self. I'm going to put something in my permanent record that only I will ever see. So like, it's a lot more difficult. And you know, like, you run your own stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But, you know, just maintaining the relationships and making sure that we have enough content and, you know, scheduling things, and especially with, you know, three other people home that aren't normally home, although now it's summer, so they would have been home anyway. It's just, it's a lot more, but I think that just adds to the enjoyment that I have for it, because at the end of the day, it's still a job well done.
Right. Well, and then, I mean, again, there's, From bouncing in and out of other outlets, and I still produce content for Newegg. I mean, even though Newegg Studios isn't in person-to-person operation, it doesn't mean that we're not still making stuff. But there's just the sense of satisfaction. It's hard to talk about. You know, like, when I would nail something at Pocket Now, it felt great, right? But now, you know, what I choose, if something blows up, or if something gets the response I was looking for, like, I put in all the headache, all the back end, all of this grunt work, all the promotion and everything. And now, like, I feel like I'm really reaping something delicious.
You know?
Like, it's really a satisfying feeling. What have some of your challenges been? Because, and correct me, you're not like dual posting this podcast to like YouTube and Twitch and a bunch of other places, if I'm correct there?
I'm not. I probably should. I haven't really figured out a good way to do it, because I don't want to just take an audio file and toss it up on YouTube, because I just don't feel like that's not what, I don't feel like that that's what audiences on YouTube expect. Right. Like, when people go to YouTube, they're not necessarily looking for an audio podcast. So like,
Right, maybe, but the idea of turning an audio podcast into
a video,
a show with B-roll and shooting extra content doesn't really sound like that's a feasible workload either.
No. And in fact, one of my Patreon benefits is if I ever get to, I think it was like $2,500 a month, then I'll start up a YouTube channel. Like I'll actually post content to YouTube, or I don't even remember. It was an insane amount. Not insane, but like, it was a legitimate,
a pretty
amount.
High level. Yeah.
It was a fairly high level. So like, I kind of want to do YouTube, but at the same time, video, like as hard as audio production can be, video production is so much harder. Right. You know, just because it's just so much more, it's not necessarily more time intensive because videos tend to be shorter, except for obviously the one that we're recording right now. But like a product video would be, sure, you know, would be shorter, but you know, you're still going to put 10, 15, 20 hours into it at the end of a day, you know.
I mean, that's literally just the video production. Has nothing to do with the time, like using the product you're going to talk about,
right,
or doing your research. It's
right,
literally just sitting in front of camera, shooting and editing is going to be a day's worth of work all on its own.
And I've done a couple of different product reviews on the podcast. And, you know, I've thought to myself, you know, both times, or like all the times, I don't remember how many reviews I've done at this point. But like both times, I'll just say both because it's easiest. I've been thinking to myself, like editing this like audio, and I'm like, you know, it wouldn't be that hard to shoot some B-roll and like put it together and like just repost this audio on YouTube as a video review. But at the same time, it's just that much more work. And as it is, I don't remember the last Saturday that I didn't have to do some amount of work to put out the show on Sunday, which, you know, it's not necessarily a deal breaker for me. I'm a freelancer, after all. There's no such thing as a 9-to-5 work day. And, you know, in addition to benefit of a doubt, I should also mention that I'm still writing for several other different outlets, you know, aside from this. So, like, I have to figure that into my work week as well. It's just so much extra work. I'm just not sure I'm up for it, to be honest. And so, like, maybe there will come a time that I am. Like, and I would say, like, when this podcast starts to pay the bills, because right now this podcast does not pay the bills. So let's be frank. It's, you know, I'm only 3 months in, though. I didn't expect it to pay the bills by this point. When this podcast starts to pay the bills, and maybe I can start giving up some of those other freelance gigs, I can pour that time back into the podcast. So,
and then it kind of compounds. Yeah.
So if you go to patreon.com/benefitofadoubt, you can contribute to my giving up freelance work. I'm just saying. No.
Do it. No, I'm serious. Like, I feel like we as content creators have always tried to maintain like this one step of separation between us and our audiences as to what this really looks like. From mental health conversations and burnout conversations to the stress of a production schedule to monetizing for SEO and promotion and distribution. And I kind of feel like, you know, especially when I started my Patreon, breaking down some of that separation seems to have helped communicate the realities of this to my audience far more. You know, like I can put out a video on YouTube and talk about burnout. And I'll do that real serious, you know, voice conversation. And maybe I'll even get a little misty and teary-eyed at some point. But instead, I can just have regular check-ins with the people that are most contributing to supporting my content.
The most invested.
And, but then they also, it's almost like a shareholder meeting at some point where it's like, they understand what this timetable looks like. You know, right now I've got hundreds of comments on my Sony Xperia videos demanding camera reviews and deep dive reviews. And I understand it. Like there's an urgency to people who are maybe considering pre-ordering a phone, but on my Patreon, I'm getting these wonderful, in-depth, nuanced conversations where people understand, like, just because I have the phone in my hand, it doesn't magically mean that a 20-minute review video just pops up on YouTube.
Right.
If they want me to actually know what I'm talking about.
And, you know, I've been seeking sanctuary with those people more frequently because of the understanding. And I can't convey that understanding on YouTube. It is not the appropriate platform
right.
to have that kind of a personal relationship with my audience. And so, I mean, to that same token, it's like I feel like there's something liberating about just sort of honestly communicating what the realities of your workload are with your audience.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I would gladly have a beer with anybody that listens to my podcast. Like, you're right. You don't get that on YouTube. YouTube is where you go to say, hey, guys, I know it's been a few days since I posted a video, but, you know, we've got some things going on. To quote the bard, Juan Bagnell.
there was a blog that was discontinued a couple years back, and it was just the saddest thing. It was this person who would find other people's blogs that only had one or two posts.
Okay.
And so it was just the saddest. I mean, like, I would go there as this like maudlin catharsis where, you know, you see this post and it's like this new blogger template or this new WordPress template. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, I'm Alex and I've got this and I want to do that. And we're going to be making this a weekly conversation about all these things. And then post two would be like 6 months later.
Ouch.
Hey, guys, sorry, I haven't been keeping up with, you know, this, you know, real life got in the way. And, you know, but I'm going to be coming back and I'm going to be writing on this blog. And that would be from like 3 years ago.
Oh, that's so sad.
And just like, oh, how soul crushing that is. And I don't think people always understand. Like, I know so many people, like I've got members in my Discord who know more about topics than I do, who school me on the regular when it comes to the minutiae of Android or different phones or hardware, networking especially. And I know, like, in them, there's probably one or two great videos that they could make.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also pretty confident that they would not be able to follow that up week to week to week to week to week to week.
Right.
And again, it's that which kind of hurts my heart a little bit.
Because you know, like, it's great content that just needs to get out.
It needs to get out. And I feel like people look at, you know, like some of the top players on YouTube and they don't know like how much work went into that. And they don't know until they try, and then they finish something and like, damn, like they're never going to try another video ever again. That was hard.
That was terrible. Why would anybody do this? I need to go.
And to then put themselves out there to the ire of the YouTube comment section.
Well, and to the ire of the YouTube algorithms, like you're only going to do two videos. Well, nobody will ever see those.
Well, so is that something, I mean, again, if this is a little too inside baseball and, you know, if you feel like you're giving up anything proprietary, but
no.
Because you're not on a platform like YouTube, you're not, well, first of all, I guess that's also a good thing that you're not beholden to the YouTube's popularity searching SEO buzzword algorithm. But what has that looked like for trying to promote and share and distribute a podcast without that kind of Google sanctioned, Google approved popularity keyword?
Right. Well, if I ever did release this podcast to YouTube, it would be as kind of like an afterthought. It would be like, let's do this too, just because,
for sure.
You know, why shut out that particular audience? And maybe like one of my SEO titles will grab like the right set of eyeballs and like they'll all hit the subscribe button and then everybody will be happy. It's kind of hard. I mean, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's not kind of hard. It's very hard. It's very hard to get the word out. Because I'm past that magical 8 weeks for the new and noteworthy section of Apple Podcasts, which I still say is a dumpster fire. But anyway, I mean, like, I'm still largely beholden to the iTunes gods,
right.
You know, in terms of like, you know, searchability and discoverability. But I mean, mostly it's like, it's just harping on, it's, if I knew a magical way to get my podcast to go viral, trust me, I'd be doing it. So, I mean, it's really just the grind. It's really just, you know, like this episode gets a few more listens than the last one. And this one gets a few more listens than the last one. And then, you know, it's appearing on podcasts like this. So I can say benefit of a doubt 87 times to an audience. And, you know, hoping that, like, let's just say you have 10,000 listeners. I'm going to hope that 5 of them go listen to my podcast, you know, and then like when I can trumpet, I've got some gadget guy on my show, then I'm hoping that of your 10,000 listeners, maybe 100 come and listen to that episode. And of those, maybe 5 will hit the subscribe button ultimately. And like we touched on this the last time I appeared on the show, but like once you can get people to subscribe to a podcast, that's a multi-step commitment for someone to actually like actively seek out your podcast and actively push the subscribe button. There's no, you know, smash that bell that I can tell people to do, like, because you know everybody knows how to subscribe on YouTube. You click on the little subscribe button, like by the time, and the good news is by the time someone is listening to your podcast, chances are there's a subscribe button within one or two clicks away. But it's just getting them to that podcast. That's the hard part. And that's why.
Just look at how hard YouTubers had it. They were so conditioned to the subscribe button that now the bell icon is an extra click.
Right.
Oh, man, I can't do that.
Right.
That's two clicks now.
I'll subscribe. But I'm not sure I want notifications. I don't know.
I'm not gonna
notification enough, you know? I mean, that's kind of like the auto download feature on Pocket Cast. Like, I like your podcast. I don't know if I really want to automatically download it, you know?
Hey, folks, are you getting bored of the current collection of tech and geek commentary on the internet? Is the discussion of new electronics feeling a bit stale? Do you want to find some fresh voices to add to your subscription queue? Check out the community on rglowingrectangles on Reddit. Now, this subreddit was built to help new voices in the tech community find more audience, and we need your support. Sharing, commenting, and those precious, tasty upvotes. Reddit can radically help a content creator expand their reach. Do you know a producer who deserves more attention? Do you just want to find fun new stuff? Head on over to reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles and share or browse to your heart's content. Once again, reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles, and let's build something cool together.
But I mean, the nice thing is once you've gotten someone locked in, I feel like you've got a good repeat listener.
Yeah.
Like on my podcast catcher, I still have Serial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that podcast hasn't produced a new episode in what, 3 years, 2 years?
No. It's been about a year and a half. Because
since they did like a follow up, because I don't think they've had a new series.
They did 3 seasons.
Right. No, I've listened to all 3 seasons.
Right. So, yeah, they did. Was it that old? I mean, I don't think it was.
I think it's been a while.
Really? OK, we need to look this up. This is good radio.
This has just become the most important.
This is great radio here. But I mean, I don't think it's been. I want to say it's been 18 months. I'm putting my money on 18 months. That's the over under.
Let's see.
Where are we at?
They did have. Oh, wait. Is this an actual update from Serial, though? So, like, I see, like, an update May 7th of 2020, but that's not an actual episode. It's like a 3
I don't even
snippet
see that.
Of audio.
And
then the last thing I see is November 2018.
Okay. And that's 18 months.
So, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I thought it was more like two full years, but still.
Yeah, but still, you're right. It's not
That's
it's not
still
quick.
In my phone.
It's not quick, right. And I've still got Serial loaded there because I'm still waiting for season 4.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
How could it not?
Honestly, how could it not? And if Serial season 4 does not happen, I will be pissed off because you cannot buy that kind of audience. And like that's the type of audience where you basically just print your own money. So
I feel like Serial kind of wrecked the curve for other podcasts. Like you have Joe Rogan going and doing the talk show format, and then Serial took news to a direction where it's like, I was in pitch meetings for major publications where it's like, well, yeah, we just want to do a viral news show like Serial. Oh, don't we all?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be magical?
Guess what? I already do one. That's why I'm sitting here.
Yes. Yeah. Like, just, we just magically have this formula for success, but no one else decided to do another serial show.
Right. I mean, and awesome. Like, and one thing that kills me is, like, I knew, you know, like, I knew a podcast from back in the day, from before Serial, who built up, like, a worldwide audience. And I don't know that they were necessarily in the, they were not actually, let me just be clear. They were not in the millions. They were in the probably tens of thousands, give or take. And after 100 episodes, they're like, nah, we're done. And I'm just like, you're what? You have people from Australia traveling to Chicago to come to your 100th episode. And you're going to walk away from that audience? Dude.
And it's what the hell? Too. Like, and like, you want to say respect, you know, because I feel like something like that probably could have been sold off, you know, like they probably could have.
No, it couldn't have.
And, well, but no, I mean, like, cynically, you know what I mean? Like, we're done with it. It's, you know, we're not going to use this label anymore. So we're going to auction that out and someone else will take it over and we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I almost want to say more respect for just ending it and not trying to make it some kind of cash grab or something like that.
And it's kind of funny because a friend of mine and I, who were fans of the show, we did a parody of us taking that brand and like taking over for them. We did like a parody show of like us doing that show, like, you know, yeah, well, they're gone, but here we are. And so, and it was hilarious, and I still giggle about it to this day. But
it is kind of interesting, you know, like we're kind of getting into to about an hour here, so I want to start steering this towards wrapping it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of life experiences happened to you very, very, very quickly in the midst of some historical calamities in sort of how our country and people in our country relate to each other, and then how we handle things like a global pandemic. I'm sure you had that on your, you know, your bingo scorecard of obstacles to overcome while setting up my own personal podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I was wondering, you know, we wrapped our first conversation up with that notion of what kind of advice would you give to someone who was, you know, looking to get started or who would take something like this seriously. And I'd be curious to pick your brain. What maybe's changed, or what maybe has been modified or evolved over this last year?
I think my advice is largely the same. I actually wondered if you were going to ask me that question again, and so it got me like to reflecting back to like what I said last time, which I think was you know, maintain consistency. In you know, production and in frequency, and you know, just a little side note, my daughter wants to start a YouTube channel. She's 9. And she wants to do like a Roblox kind of like gaming channel. And so I sat down with her like yesterday, and I'm like, okay, fine, write up a business plan. Tell me what kind of show you're going to do, what the name's going to be, what kind of content are you going to do, how often are you going to release that content, you know, what's going to be sustainable, how are you going to record it, what devices are you going to use, yada, yada, yada. And so to her credit, she sat down and wrote out like one-word answers for every one of those questions.
But she still answered the questions.
But she still did answer the questions. But like, you know, she went off and did a video and like came back, and I'm just like, well, your audio kind of sucks, so let's figure out a way to make this better. I didn't say it like that. I was a little bit more parental than that.
No, but daughter of mine will have garbage audio.
Oh, you bet your ass. But anyway, so like, you know, and one of the things I told her was, you know, you got to do this consistently. You know, you have to be able to, if you're going to do 3 shows a week, you got to be able to do 3 shows a week. And, you know, if you can't be bothered to like sit down and learn how to do a screen recording software, you're not going to be able to do 3 shows a week because you're going to get bored with it. Now, my daughter does have a, how did I put it to my wife yesterday? She has a I don't remember the actual word I used, but it was the perfect word at the time. But she has ambition. She has she has drive. And so, like, you know, anybody who's been in gymnastics since she was 18 months old, you know, has to have a certain amount of drive and competitiveness involved. So anyway, but, you know, like, whether or not she has enough, the wherewithal to do this, you know, she says 3 days a week. I'm like, really? Don't you think you should start off with, like, maybe one a week just to, like, you know, kind of dip your toe in the water?
Don't rein me in, Dad.
I know, but still, like, you know, because I'm concerned about that consistency. And right. And like the other thing that, you know, and I said this very frankly earlier in the podcast, my podcast does not pay the bills yet. You know, that was another thing that I said at the in our last show was, as long as you have realistic expectations, you know, going into this, you know, just be honest with what your expectations are going to be. Will my podcast eventually pay the bills? I like to think so. I think so 18, 24 months down the line, I think maybe I might be able to start considering giving up freelance work if I do this consistently for, you know, for the next 2 years. So, like, I'm going into this knowing, like, this is probably not going to have a payoff in the first 2 years. Maybe I'll make a few bucks here or there. You know, grab an Amazon affiliate or something, you know,
for sure.
If I can ever manage to get past their frickin' rules. But anyway, man, Amazon,
they sort of tightened the belt on the Amazon Associates program. Even I've been looking at my numbers going, hey, this used to be different.
Well, no, I'm still trying to get approved.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's what I mean, though, is again, it's like we offer this advice, and I think people who are established or working for outlets or who are, you know, using piggybacking on other affiliate marketing or something like that, I don't think they fully understand,
like, how
radically YouTube has changed for a channel trying to monetize, how radically Google prioritizes popular search for people when they're logged into their Gmail accounts. You don't find new things. You find the things you're already familiar with and comfortable with that reinforce what you already think.
Right.
And I don't think people understand, you know, like, it used to be a lot simpler to fire up an Amazon affiliate account and do your affiliate marketing and share links and monetize. And that isn't the reality of building something new today.
Right.
If you don't already have the infrastructure from someone else to piggyback on.
Or, you know, a couple million people visiting your website every month. Right. You know, so.
But again, like, I mean, like, and that's what I mean is, like, building something like that, I think classic web wasn't as difficult to challenge
as
when people were really going to sites. Yeah, I'm guilty of this now, too, where, you know, I don't hit my RSS reader as frequently as I might check out Reddit. And Reddit is a toxic wasteland of moderators with Napoleon complexes trying to control their fiefdoms and actively preventing the spread of potentially new sources of information until they're already popular.
Right.
And then once they're already popular, well, then, yeah, obviously we upvote and it's totally democratic, but it's not.
Right.
It's even Reddit is totally ruled by these algorithms. Like, you submit a post to Reddit and it gets upvoted and downvoted before people even see it, because Reddit is trying to grade the popularity of your content before other people get to weigh in on it.
I have again. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to wrap it up. I mean, like, again, I don't feel like I hear people give advice to new and upcoming creators and this is how you play ball. And you're like, that's how you did it. And that's not what this looks like today.
I haven't even explored the depths of Reddit all that much. Like, I used to kind of get into Reddit a little bit, but it just kind of fell by the wayside. Now, like, most of my news comes from Google Feed. I'm sorry to say, but you know what? Google Feed gives me a couple of gems every now and then. I just came across a YouTube channel called At the Movies, which is like a super group of like Norwegian metal singers that, like, do hit songs from 80s movies. And, like, I'm like, I don't know why Google thought I would like that, but you were right.
So, good job, Google.
Right. But yeah, so, it's hard, and, you know, I'm just I think at the end of the day, if I can, you know, look back 2 years from now and answer myself honestly, was I consistent? Did I put in the right amount of work and the right amount of heart and the right amount of sweat into this show? Can I really be all that upset if it's not paying right. the bills by then? No, I mean, and that's why God gave us freelance work. Which is, you know, these days how I'm paying the bills.
For sure. So I want to wrap this up, not with one of my goofy, gimmicky, you know, disaster scenario questions. Actually, I keep thinking like the disaster scenario questions are a lot less fun in the middle of a global pandemic.
A little bit. Might be just a touch tone deaf.
Yeah, read the room, right?
Right.
Come on, Juan, look around. I still think they're funny. I'll probably keep doing them with new guests,
okay.
but not with people coming back. But what I really wanted to kind of close this out on, I really, as soon as I heard about this deal, I really wanted to hear your thoughts on it, and I didn't want to spoil the conversation before I had you on microphone.
Okay.
Joe Rogan goes and sells out to Spotify.
Okay.
And I feel like Joe got taken for a ride, that having Spotify be sort of an intermediary step in between him and his audience, even like, yeah, I'm sure $100 million or whatever the projected deal cost is good money.
Right.
But I kind of feel like this is not a great move for podcasting. It's going to set expectations that this is how you cash in on a podcast.
Oh, okay. And, so you're speaking more philosophically. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally. But I was wondering, you know, like, do you think that a company like Spotify could start to rein in and make podcasting proprietary? You know, like Apple and Google have their own podcasting platforms. A number of smaller outlets have tried to do premium paywall in a way that would lock up podcasters. But I don't think we've seen anyone with quite the same persistence in streaming audio as Spotify make this move. And this seems to be a clear shot at the totally free and open landscape of podcasting.
Right. And we touched on this a little bit when I came on this in the first episode. But like, podcasting being free and open is great to a point. But like, you know, exactly what I was talking about earlier this episode, like there's no one clear path to a subscribe button. You know, like if I could go on a podcast and confidently know that 90% of the audience was coming from Spotify, I could give them step-by-step instructions on like, here's how you can help my show do better on Spotify. And like, I know that would be a very solid return of investment. Like, I know that if I got a few people to do that, like, you know, leave a review in iTunes. I don't even think Spotify doesn't have a review mechanism, do they?
I honestly don't know.
I'm a Google Play Music subscriber, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I get almost no feedback from Spotify listens.
Right.
And it doesn't factor into my metrics because my podcasting host doesn't factor in Spotify.
Oh, so really? Okay.
It's an unknown to me. I really don't pay attention to that. And my high-quality music streaming has moved over to Tidal. So
yeah, I mean, I am on Spotify. Like, my podcast is on Spotify, and I can get metrics from them, but they're, you know, fairly insignificant compared to the whole. So like, hey, shout out to Spotify listeners, I love you. But anybody who will give me the time of day on any platform, I'm very wholeheartedly for. So like, I wouldn't object to one company stepping up and gobbling up the rest of the landscape if it's like still a free and accessible platform like YouTube. Like, cause like when you're making videos, you kind of know you're going to be on YouTube. When you're making a podcast, you don't necessarily know where you're going to end up. And that is a very great thing. And it's, you know, like they say in Monk, it's a blessing and a curse, you know, cause it's, would we be better off? I don't know. In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. It's almost like comparing like a 4G phone to a 5G phone. Like, I don't know, the OnePlus 8 to the OnePlus 7T.
For sure.
And like, you know, it's
a very topical conversation right
it's
now.
It's not a binary yes, no.
You You nerd.
Yeah, I know. I just watched that video this morning. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's not a binary yes or no. Would it be better in some ways? Yes. Would it be worse in some ways? Most assuredly, yes. I would personally be more in favor of it, but only if Spotify could get the entire community on board. And I think that is going to be a monumental task. And yeah. I think podcasting has grown beyond what a single company can do to bring it under its umbrella. Joe Rogan will help. You know, Joe Rogan will help give Spotify more recognition in the podcasting space. And that alone could be good for the podcasting community. If more people are like, oh, Spotify has podcasts? Cool. Let's check that out. Let's check Joe Rogan out. Oh, look, there's other podcasts here. Let's see. That could be good for the podcasting community. So I'm kind of on board with it. But, you know, as I said on my show a couple of weeks ago when this deal came out, I sincerely hope that one day I will have the opportunity to sell out. I hope that my audience builds to a point where I'll have the opportunity to sell out so that I can return the favor to my audience by not selling out. So,
No. That you had me in the first half.
Right.
And then it took a different direction. So nicely done.
Because the way I see it is if Spotify is going to offer me $100 million for my show, I'm probably doing okay.
Right.
I probably don't need $100 million. $100 million would be nice. Sure.
Well, but this is what I think is so curious about the Spotify deal is, to me, it feels a little kind of like SiriusXM, you know? This is an organization that's trying to snatch up content and hosts, and they're trying to keep it under their umbrella. It'll probably be freely available, and then they can serve their own ads. And if they have $100 million to throw at Joe Rogan, I have to believe he's worth more than that.
Well, yeah.
I have to believe that his show and his property is going to do more than $100 million worth of business for Spotify.
Oh, sure.
For them to be able to afford picking him up at 100 mil.
And I'm sure the way Spotify sees it is Joe Rogan will do exactly what I just said, like, which is to say, like, Joe Rogan will bring podcasting recognition to the Spotify platform, and therefore it won't just be Joe Rogan's listeners getting ads. It'll be all Spotify podcast listeners getting ads. And also, and I think in terms, this kind of brings us full circle back to the Android Authority conversation. By, you know, not having a podcast, you're not going to get to those podcast listeners that might otherwise come to your site and have fun. So it's kind of a recognition thing. It's not just a money thing.
Right.
So, and if that's not a good way to wrap up the show, I don't know what is.
No, that was perfect.
I still have more that I want to say, but I'm going to defer to the great show that we just put together, and I'm going to silence myself.
No, I'm glad. See, I like working with other hosts because you got a pretty good sense of, like, yeah, we could ramble on for another 2 hours, but we could put a pin in that right there. Just real quick, is there anything you can tease upcoming content, some of the stuff that's going to be coming to the podcast, stuff you're excited about? And then please share some of the other outlets that you're writing for freelance. Okay. So if people want to keep track of you, they can stalk you on all sides.
Oh, yeah. So the main place you will find me is on Twitter, occasionally on Instagram. Instagram is actually more just like, hey, I think a picture of that would be funny. You know, that's kind of like what it is for me, but my family ends up on there sometimes and stuff like that. But yeah, Dead Technology on Twitter is pretty much the best way to reach me. My DMs are open. Feel free to drop me a line. I will be happy to chat about anything for, you know, an hour and a half. Benefit of the Doubt is the name of the podcast. You can find that in all your podcast players, including Spotify. Benefit of Dowd is the name on Twitter because I couldn't fit the in the 15 characters that they allow you on Twitter. So feel free to follow me at Benefit of Dowd. This week we have a great interview with Brad Mullen and Jason Gurdon from TCL. And we talk about not only the TCL 10 Pro, but we also talk about 5G and foldables and the future of innovation. So, hey, look at that. That's me. Let's see. Coming up, I've got the Amazon Fire HD that I'm holding up in front of the camera that I'm going to be reviewing. And I've got the device, which is not within reach, apparently, but I've got the Lenovo Duet that I'm doing a review
of. Oh, very nice.
Wait, there it is. There it is. So, see, it's a Chromebook. It's a tablet.
It's a floor wax. It's a dessert topping.
Yep. So this device, this is actually going to get a couple of different pieces of content on the podcast because I'm kind of excited about it. You know, just as a teaser, I plan to do a Lenovo Duet versus iPad, not Pro 7th generation because this tablet is that good. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good showdown.
So yeah, that's going to be a very interesting, take. That's going to come before the review. And then after the review, I actually sat down with, marketing guy from Lenovo as well. So we'll have an interview with them as well. So lots of Lenovo content coming.
No, that's
so
great.
For the legions of Lenovo fans out there. And that's off the top of my head. That's most of... next week, WWDC, we've got Rene Ritchie talking about the state of Apple in 2020. So
beautiful.
Yeah,
that's a good chat. Rene is ex. I mean, again, because you know I get real snarky about Apple, so you want someone who's
when you're talking about Apple, he's the smartest guy in the room. So
yeah, he's the guy.
He is the guy. So that's pretty much me. That's Benefit of a Doubt, and it's benefitofadoubt.com. Written articles there too. So yeah,
stop on by. Juan sent you.
Oh, and other places that I write, primarily LifeWire.com. I do like a bunch of how-to stuff there. And Digital Trends. I just started doing some stuff with them. So, in the smart home area.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Getting around, man. I'm really glad to see it. And again, all the best to you and the fam. And I hope you guys are staying safe, staying healthy.
And the same to you and your fam.
Consistency is still key. Whether working for another outlet or making your own show. It's always nice getting to check in with a good friend, and I hope you'll give Adam a listen on his new podcast. I just wish he'd told us what the name of it was. It's a mystery. I'd like to thank Adam for dropping by on another Creator Chat, and a huge thank you to all of you listening, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. If you would like to help support the production of more conversations like these, please head on over to somegadgetguide.com, where you'll find a support banner, and that's where I keep all of my current partnerships and affiliates, including my Patreon, where patrons get ad-free versions of every show. And reviewing this show on your favorite podcasting service is always greatly appreciated. You know where you can find me around the rest of the internet. At Some Gadget Guy on the Twitters and the Twitch, and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. And I'll catch you all on the next podcast.
Recording voiceover, spoken word, is truly one of my favorite activities. My second favorite hobby is photography. Now, the smartphone might be making us deaf, but we can't deny the awesome power of the phone as a platform for photography and multimedia creation. If you've been looking to improve your mobile photog skills, if you want to produce more professional content, or you're just looking to take your family photos to the next level, I wrote a book to help you out with that. Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs is available on Amazon Kindle. Walking through the basic terminology of photography, covering the settings on your camera, discussing composition and inspiration, and I even include a long list of exercises and challenges to really hone your skills, all with some helpful example photos and diagrams. Search for Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs on Amazon, or use the quick link bit.ly/betterphotosbook to grab your copy today.